CliffCentral.com. Unbranded on CliffCentral.com.
Welcome back to Unbranded. I'm Timothy Maurice, and it's an absolute thrill to be back in studio. Super excited about the year ahead. This is a show where we explore the link between human and brand behavior, how people can build their personal brand stories, how this can impact your social and corporate brand narratives. We also explore the how we must read books that can elevate you and change your life in the year ahead. I'm really excited about this show for a lot of reasons. One is that the feedback, when I put out on social media, the feedback has been extraordinary. And I really feel as though if you're going to continue to reinvent yourself over and over again, the only way to do it is knowledge. I'm excited about the year ahead as well, because there are going to be some fundamental sort of changes that I'm excited about. And I'm also excited about cyber health, Rianette Cyber Health Insights, and also looking at how she continues to impact lives, giving us sort of rich knowledge about cyber health and so forth as well. So today, it's just good to be firmly planted in this new year, and I'm excited about so many things, and you'll hear more about it throughout the show. I expect some changes to how we go about producing the show as we seek to grow and evolve and give you better insights about the brain and branding. One primary change will be seeking to connect more of the best minds globally. We're also moving to a podcast-only format rather than being just a live podcast. This will allow us to connect with leading thinkers around the world who are not only on our time zone, but when we pre-record, I can come in at midnight and catch up with people who are in India as well as people who are on the West Coast in America. That's been really important to me. As I've been exploring podcasts from around the world, I realized that very few of them are live. And there are some great podcasts on Cliff Central that are live, and they're all about the trends and what's happening. But I want to produce content that you can listen to 10 years from now. And I want to do it in a way that people are able to download it, listen on planes, and really sort of be research oriented and focused. So that is the purpose of the shift. And you'll see, I think what you'll see is you'll see more of my work. And I think that as I've been doing this over the last couple of years, I've had a lot of fun just sort of exploring the platform. And now I think I've sort of found my voice, and I'm really excited about the next chapter. And I really appreciate everyone who has subscribed to the show, who is following. I get wonderful feedback from, you know, different parts of the world, and that means a lot. We get people downloading the podcast all over, subscribing on iTunes, on Cliff Central, from South Korea to the UK to the US and throughout Africa. And it really, really, really does mean a lot. So today's show, we're going to explore books and the must-read books I feel you should read to really change your life over the next year. People often ask me how I continue to reinvent myself and continue evolving. And the truth is, there's only one way. That is to continue reading and elevate myself with knowledge. I have a golden rule I'm going to share with you. And that rule is that every time I purchase an item of clothing, I buy a book. That is my fundamental rule. If I go into a shop to buy clothes, I will make sure that I buy a book, either an ebook or a book inside of a bookstore. And I think this also helps me with my own writing and so forth as well. This has, of course, led to far too many books in my house. But with ebooks, things are definitely getting better, less clogged up. But I do love my bookshelves, and they do mean a lot to me. So today we're going to explore two levels of books, five books of mine that have changed my life and how they've changed my life. And then I crowdsource books from social media. And I reached out to influencers as well, some friends of mine, influencers, to find out which books changed their lives, and I'll share their findings as well. So I'm going to start the show in three parts. The first part is I'm going to share three books of mine that changed my life. And then I'm going to share with you insights from Twitter as well as Facebook and see if you can find some threads and parallels of what people are saying. And then I'm going to come back with the final two books and then share a few books for some really powerful influencers, people who have a collective of about 5 million followers on social media. So I think you'll find interesting to see what they have to say. So the first book, these are the top three books, and Riannette is in studio. She's coming up at the end of the show, as always, with her cyber health feature. And she may join us in on some of these books. How are you doing?
I am so glad to be back, Timothy. It's just so, you know, after a nice long holiday, relaxing, rejuvenating, I'm excited about this year. So it's so cool. Thank you.
Good, good. So the first book is a book called Sex at Dawn by Christopher Ryan and Chachilda Jetta. How we mate and why we stray and what it means for modern relationships. This is a New York Times bestseller, which is regarded as the single most important book on human sexuality since the Kinsey work in 1948. This book really changed my life. And one of the big insights was that, you know, couples who engage, who are not married, who engage in unprotected sex are really setting themselves up, particularly if the man ejaculates inside of a woman. What happens is the semen has about 52 chemicals and hormones, and this gets inside of the bloodstream and triggers bonding effect. So if you have an unprotected sex and the man ejaculates inside of the woman, essentially it helps regulate the emotions of a woman and makes the woman feel more connected than she could potentially be.
Okay.
And if you are using protection and you're not ejaculating, studies show, and this book shows, that it's fairly easy to break up with a person. So we often confuse being in love with just chemicals being triggered. And that's one of the big takeaways from this book. And it blew my mind. I'm like, wow. You know, and when you ask people, do you use protection? And you start to ask your friends and people who find it difficult to break up if they've been using protection or not. Ones that are going crazy and struggling to break up is largely because of they haven't been using protection.
Wow, Tim, that's quite fascinating.
So this book, you know, also explores why it is bad and poor science caused us to sort of oppress women over the years. So ridiculous things like hysteria and how we used to cure hysteria back in the days in women using certain sort of technology and so forth was primarily because of a fundamental misunderstanding about female sexuality. And it really leads to an empowering look as it relates to women. And part of the reason why it changed my life is that you realize that a big part of how we see women, their vulnerability, is a taboo that's based on poor science. And, you know, I recommend this book for anyone who is interested in gender equality. The book breaks conventional thinking with regard to what we think about sex and how women have been unfairly framed due to poor science, and how now that we have better science, we have to destroy those old myths. The book also helped me understand powerful reasons behind modern couples create chaos for themselves. Now, you know, this book is not for the faint-hearted. It goes into deep, deep lessons about things about yourself, everything about what happens in terms of the brain when you masturbate. It goes into deep, deep. And I really feel like sort of the cognitive dissonance in terms of how we split what we're taught to feel about sexuality and what's actually happening in our body, there's often a massive disconnect. And I hope that if you get a chance to read this book, it helps bridge some of that discomfort that you have with yourself in terms of understanding why you feel a particular way, what's happening in your relationships, but also why it is that a lot of religions and a lot of sort of cult societies have served us a lot of misinformation and caused us to feel extraordinarily guilty and feel like we are less than human at times about some of the way we think. And it really gives you the opportunity to explore some of your own sort of biases towards yourself as well. So Sex at Dawn by Christopher Ryan. And we're going to put some of the notes up on the page because the titles and the names may be difficult to spell. But the second book is Leonardo's Brain, Understanding Da Vinci's Creative Genius. This book literally blew my mind. Leonardo da Vinci is literally one of the most influential creative and scientific thinkers ever. So I wanted to explore how he did it and what was so special about him. This book made me realize that on many levels he was ordinary. Da Vinci, as you know, he produced work like the Mona Lisa, which is regarded as, you know, some of the Renaissance's greatest work in the sort of the 15, 1600s. And, but he grew up in a broken home, unwanted. Mother was something akin to a domestic worker. But the startling revelation was how competition inspired him to create some of the world's greatest art. You know, one of the big things I learned in this book, Rianette, was that Michelangelo and Da Vinci were competitors on some level.
Yeah.
They had been commissioned by the leading authorities to compete to see who could create the best battle scene. But then they never finished it because it was chaos. You know, during the Renaissance period, what most people don't realize, they just think it was some sort of beautiful art period in history. There was just constant war.
Yeah.
It was chaos. So Michelangelo, at the time that Da Vinci was 50 years old, Michelangelo was in his 20s. Sure. And Michelangelo was a new voice coming on the scene. And one of the things that this book taught me was that Da Vinci was not necessarily intimidated by Michelangelo, but there was a competitive fire there that went, I'm the man in town.
Yes.
And then Michelangelo comes on the scene and he's doing amazing work and they were pitted against each other to see who could create the best battle scene. And what happened was Michelangelo and Da Vinci, neither of them finished their work, but they kept in the back of their mind that they were trying to prove something to each other. Mm-hmm. And because of this sort of competitive sort of nature, Michelangelo went on to finish the Sistine Chapel.
Yes.
And Da Vinci went on to finish the Mona Lisa. And part of what this taught me is that the Da Vinci sort of code, this sort of, you know, philosophy towards life, is that it's okay to be competitive. And it's okay to want to strive towards your best self, being inspired by trying to compete. It's about your relationship with your own competitive gene, so you don't take it too far.
Yes. Yeah, and it's important for us for our growth. I'm reading another book that talks about the five different types of relationships you need. And one of those key relationships is that person or people in your life that does push, they push you.
Absolutely.
They actually drive you to stay awake at night to do better.
Yes. And, you know, if you look at how Da Vinci was pushed by Michelangelo, this young sort of upstart, you see that happening a lot in politics, in corporate. You see somebody been in the business forever, and then some young person comes along. It's important to let them come along, allow them to challenge you, and see how you can actually merge the two philosophies. The Renaissance period is better because of both of them.
Yeah.
And I hope that people take away from this book, firstly, it's just well written as well. But I hope what you take away from the book is that both sides of the equation, both sides of the competitive equation, have space. And this was written by a brilliant, brilliant man. But just look it up, Leonardo's Brain. I think you'll appreciate this book on many, many, many levels. The author and I'll give you the author's name in a moment, but he is the foremost thinker on Leonardo da Vinci's work. And I think, you'll appreciate the work. The third book is Brand Leadership by David Aker and Eric Joachim Stahler. Tom Peters, one of the fathers of sort of personal branding, said, "This is it on branding. Read it or else."
That's it.
I mean, he's just saying, this is it. This book is it. And I agree. I mean, you know, in sort of undergrad school, I studied marketing, branding, and psychology. But, I mean, this gives you insights on so many levels, so many global case studies, from Coca-Cola to Nike to one of my favorite brands, Ralph Lauren, how Ralph Lauren went from selling neckties in the boot of his car to the global empire. And he breaks brand architecture down and puts it in simple language. And I think this is what was explosive to me, was how he just made it simple, how he made and linked building campaigns, how he, you know, helped people understand how to develop sponsorship opportunities. And, and just made it in a way where people, I think, on every level can benefit. So whether you're a CEO or whether you a marketing manager or you're head of communications or you're just a receptionist, I think this is a book you should get. I think it'll help you understand more about yourself, how storylines and narratives evolve. But also, again, books that I really enjoy are books that just read well. And, you know, it's just brilliantly structured, and I think you'll appreciate it. David Aker in particular, is his background in branding is very strong, and that's David Aaker. And he's written some, you know, many bestsellers, but I think this is one of his best. Rianette, quickly, before I go and I share some of the Facebook, I mean, those are sort of three, and I'll come back at the end of the show after I share the social media sort of crowdsourced books that I found. But what is one book that sort of changed your life? One, if you have to narrow it down to one.
I would say Necessary Endings by Dr. Henry Cloud.
Okay.
There are many. He also wrote Boundaries and so forth. But Necessary Endings is really looking at how do you, if your life is a rose bush, how do you actually need to prune it? How do you actually need to make sure that life is given to the roses that you need to support? Because it also just makes me think, and as a side note, that, and I can't remember if it was in Boundaries and in Necessary Endings, but he says, no is a complete sentence. And we have to understand that it's okay to say no. We don't need to make excuses. No, I can't come to dinner because my grandmother's toe hurts. We just need to say no. And so Necessary Endings really helped me to look at when is it a good time to end something and how to end it. You don't end things in a bad way. Sometimes it's a relationship. It's your job opportunities that you need to look at. Sometimes it's something really good and strong that you need to let go of and end. In my business, my communications agency, at some stage we started doing corporate gifts because I was irritated by the way our clients were wrapping their gifts. And I said, no, we're building your brand here. You can't give a badly wrapped gift to a CEO. So we started doing the gift wrapping. That turned into corporate gifting. That turned into a very big, strong business arm. And after a while, I said to my team, I said, listen, we're not doing PR anymore. We are doing gifts. And as lovely and as fun as it is, it's not the core. It's just sucking up all our energy, our time. And if you think about the rose bush again, it's taking up all the nutrients. We have to cut it. And it was hard, but it set us free.
Okay.
And it just helped me to make those hard decisions because sometimes you are driven by emotions instead of good decisions. So it's practical. Yeah.
Awesome. And it's amazing how different books inspire different people at different times.
Oh, yes.
Which is primarily why I wanted to crowdsource and not just share books from my own sort of personal experience, but from people from all walks of life, from every imaginable background, every race, every culture. And that's what I've been able to get. I've been able to get, like, you know, former CEO of Anglo-American to all types of people who I'm going to share now with you books that have changed their life. And that was the brief. The brief was specifically a book that have physically changed your life. And I'm hoping you'll take and you'll research these books and find out what meets you where you are with what you're going through and what you need to accomplish your goals and dreams in the year ahead. So one of the first books I got on Facebook, I'll start with the Facebook list, was Tuesdays with Maury by Mitch Albom. I haven't read this book myself, but I have heard that it is a good book. This was submitted by Akanyang Manisa. The next book was Retabile Lenko. She says The Invitation, and I got this several times. The Invitation by Oriah Dreamer. Teresa Tlati said The Power of Now by Eckhart Tolle. I think most people have read that book. That is one of the world's sort of best-selling books. Moshami Shetty, who's an attorney, a powerful sort of attorney, she says Wayne Dyer's The Power of Intention. Mm-hmm. Have you read that book?
No, I've heard about it.
Yeah, Wayne Dyer is you know, Renus LaRue, a friend of mine, is a huge fan of Wayne Dyer. And I would suggest Wayne Dyer is definitely a powerful, powerful, powerful author. I got another one from Golani Cyril, who says The Power of Now, Eckhart Tolle. And any book that comes up a couple of times, I think is worth noting. Natalie Collins said Outliers by Malcolm Gladwell, a hugely popular book that I would recommend. Outliers is really sort of explores sort of stories of success of people who sort of operate on the fringes. Aya Vanya says Mind Power to the 21st Century by John Keogh. Lebu Harvey says Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. That book is also, both of those books are sort of global bestsellers. Man's Search for Meaning by Viktor Frankl, which I can't recommend enough. You know, I probably could have put several hundred books on this list, but, you know, that particular book fundamentally changed my life as well. That was submitted by Nandi Ngabeni. Ian Dunlap said, Money Master the Game made me more money than any other book on investing. Hmm. Money Master the Game. That's the first time I've heard of this book. That's interesting. Pintu says The Lady, Her Lover, and Her Lord by T.D. Jakes. T.D. Jakes' name came up a few times on the list. Seema Berger says Love Yourself for No Reason by Mark Peter Kahn. And she received a few comments and said that's on my list now. Alicia February says that a book by Nicholas Sparks, A Walk to Remember. Tumo Motlatsi said The Second Bounce of the Ball by Ronald Cohen. Bevel Lackey, The Secret Door to Success and the Game of Life and How to Play It by Florence Shen. Manisha Ramden, who's someone I've gotten to know quite a bit. She's fundamentally changed her life. She works a lot with individuals on coaching, transforming their bodies, and she has a powerful story about how she transformed her body as well. And she seems to think that Mind Power by John Keogh could also help in that. Mm-hmm. Sandile, A New Earth by Eckhart Tolle. Teresa also said A Purpose-Driven Life by Rick Warren.
Oh, yes. I love that one.
Yes. That came up several times as well.
Yes.
Afra Chase, I think she's from Namibia. Acts of Faith by Yanla Vanzant. Yavi, Ladders and Trampolines. That book also came up a few different times. I'm going to check that one out. Ladders and Trampolines. Purpose-Driven Life came up again. Shannon Niebuhr, Tools of Titans by Tim Ferriss. That's a new book on the scene. And Tim Ferriss has one of the best podcasts out there. And he's one of the reasons why I've sort of changed how I am going to go approach my podcast. I mean, he wrote, I think, The 4-Minute Work Week.
Okay.
And he is in a 4-hour work week.
Four-hour
work week. But his particular podcast, I mean, this book is actually a product of his podcast, is what he sort of learned from the people he's interviewed.
Stunning.
Tools of Titans. A brilliant, brilliant, brilliant guy. I mean, he's interviewed everybody on the show. From Malcolm Gladwell, one of my favorite podcasts of his is his interview with Malcolm Gladwell, and Malcolm talking about why he decided to do a podcast called The Revisionist Podcast. And just a really, really great interview. And Tim Ferriss is just, I think he's a genius. Sammy Dollar, Dialogues Between Dream Makers by Sammy Sawana. A New Earth, again, by Colenso. This is the fourth time on the list. Outliers, again, by Bonnie Jones. Charlotte Thomas, Friends in the U.S. A Divine Revelation of Hell by Mary Baxter. That sounds intense. Sade Donnelly, The Power of Now again. Wow. That's like the fourth time. TJ Malamule, The Power of Positive Thinking by Norman Vance Peale. That come up again. Angie says Redeeming Love by Francine Rivers. Young man named Philip, The Forgotten Half of Change. Sounds interesting. And then The Invitation has come up again by Araya, The Mountain Dreamer. Also, if you We have a new WhatsApp line. If you're listening and you want to share a book that's changed your life, hit us up on 078-748-2090. Share with us a book that changed your life, and I will read it online as well. Again, as you're going through this, I don't want this to seem very monotonous. I wanted to come up with a list from that included myself, crowdsourced as well as influences. And I'll share books from Mini Lamini, Anele Mdoda, who has got an amazing show now on SABC. She shared a book with me, and I'm going to share that towards the end as well. And then, of course, I have two more. Well, let's continue with our Facebook list. Nicola Columbine. She says, Positive Energy by Judith Orloff. And she gave another one, Exponential Organizations by Salem Ismail. The other authors are Michael Malone and Yuri Gist. Again, if you want more specifics on these, feel free to email me, timothymaurice@gmail.com, and I'll send you this sort of full list of everyone if you're having trouble with spellings. Shamila Isak, Nice Girls Don't Get to the Corner Office by Louis Franco. I have heard that it's a brilliant book as well. Mm. Pinky, she says, Words of Passion by Bell Hooks. Mamelo says, The Invitation by, again, that's Oriah, Mountain Dreamer. A friend of mine, Lydia Shadrach Rosino, one of the top attorneys in the country, commercial attorney, she recommends Shantaram, S-H-A-N-T-A-R-A-M. Sanazo says, The Monk Who Sold His Ferrari. That's a very popular one. A friend of mine from Los Angeles, California, Lauren Wellington, Five Love Languages, which is a hugely popular book. Yes. Simpiwe, The Journey by Brendan Bays. Lungi, The Invitation Again. That's like five times for The Invitation. Nikiwe, The Secret. Very popular book. Mark Grobola. He says, I mean, he is sort of like a champion self-disciplined guy, and he believes The Sleight of Edge by Jeff Olson is a good book to read. The list keeps going on and on. Vicky says, The New Wow by Fred Pierce. Rianette, Necessary Endings. I didn't even know you commented there. MZ, The 12 Secret Success Factors, a bestseller by Dr. Joe Mabulela, PhD in Leadership and Management. Jacques Davilius, The Untethered Soul by Michael Singer. Siabonga says Robert Greene's Mastery. Maite says Americana by Dr. Chimamanda Adichie Ngozi, which is also one of my favorite books. Kaki Tao, Blink by Malcolm Gladwell. And she also said, there's this book out, I don't know if you've heard of it, Rianette, called Personal Brand Intelligence by Mr. Timothy Maurice Webster.
Oh, yes, I have. And it is a must read. It is actually on many shelves at the moment.
So I was really,
recommended reading.
Yeah, I was delighted to see that come up. That was a lot of fun. Maurice Knox says, 10 Things I Wish I'd Known Before I Went Out Into the Real World by Maria Shriver. Kate Emerson, who is a wonderful woman who helps people in sort of coaching and sort of cleaning up their lives and living simply with Zen. She also helps people publish books as well. She says, Sacred Contracts by Caroline Miss. Timeless book to shift your perception of life, people, spirit, and the bigger picture. And Kate lives by what she preaches. So I would definitely recommend that book. Boy Timello. Malotti says, The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People by Stephen Covey. I don't know many people who don't know at least a little bit about that book.
Yeah.
Matu says, Go Set a Watchman by Harper Lee. Very powerful book. Nkwazi says, Instinct, The Power to Unleash Your Inborn Drive by T.D. Jakes. Dara Hughes, also a friend of mine from Los Angeles, California. He was in several movies. And he's a very interesting guy that straddles sort of acting, music, and as a business person. He says The 48 Laws of Power, which I agree. Tapello says The Dream Giver by Bruce Wilkinson. and the list keeps going. Hopefully you are getting some good tips, some good books. Maurice and Kabani says, Feel the Fear and Do It Anyway by Susan Jeffers. There's another book, Evidence That Demands a Verdict by Josh McDowell from Ketu. Gavin Mkabela says, this is a must read, Financial Planning for Your Next Life, a financial book about life. Tsepo Mazubuko, The Power of Positive Thinking by Norman Vanspil. That's another one that's come up several times. Zanelli says, Women Who Love Too Much by Robin Norwood. Is that possible? Can you love too much?
I think it can feel that way. I don't know. Let's read the book. Let's hear the perspective.
Lungi says, A Leader Without a Title by Robin Sharma. Robin's work has come up a number of times. I would suggest he also has a wonderful podcast that's wonderful. Some of his podcasts are like 6 minutes. Some of them are an hour. Some of them are 10 minutes. You know, and I think that that sort of model is wonderful. Hester Berg says, Mark Manson, The Subtle Art of Not Giving a F. And she said, that's brilliant. Sounds like a similar book to yours where you learn how to just say no.
But I've seen the other day someone was talking about a book that says, I don't give an F. And then there were other comments of similar books where it's also using the F word.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, that's quite interesting how people just read that. And, but they, I think it must be good, you know, because sometimes you need those boundaries.
Yes, absolutely. Indomiso says Alchemist by Paulo Coelho. Now, Paulo was also interviewed by Tim Ferriss. And that was a brilliant interview because he interviewed him about his writing process, which I thought was remarkable. And his insights about why he writes and how he goes about writing books was brilliant. He writes them every 3 years. Paulo Coelho writes them every 3 years. And, you know, he had this dream. You know, in fact, his first book, the publisher didn't want to publish it, and eventually got a publisher and only printed 900 copies. Mm-hmm. That was actually The Alchemist. I don't know if it was his first book, but they only printed The Alchemist 900 copies, and that was it. They were like, well, you know. And, you know, this story about how he became a best-selling author, listen to it by Tim Ferriss on Tim Ferriss's podcast. Brilliant.
We'll do that. Thanks.
Kenny says The Purpose-Driven Life again comes up again, and Lindy says Conversation with God, books 1, 2, 3. And Jacqueline Sabeco says 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, coming up a number of times. Tubby Singh, The Master by The Master Key System, Charles Hano. Gizzy Maseko, Steps to Christ by Ellen G. White. I heard that's a really good book. William Dalton, a friend of mine in the U.S. on the East Coast. It's The Life, Living the Life Without Fear by Cameron Hairston. Aubrey, The Holy Bible. Darlene, The Holy Bible. The Holy Bible came up at least 7 times in the crowdsourcing list.
Yes, I mean, for me, that would also be my ultimate one because, I mean, but I read it every day. And Proverbs is like the ultimate list of things, how to do things and so forth. So you almost don't even think about it when you have this list because it's part of your life.
This part of the list got real spiritual. I don't know if these guys got together or what. What happened? But Kasim says the new World by Eckhart Tolle. And Simon says All Books by Miles Monroe. So he's clearly a Miles Monroe fan. Mm-hmm. Luciano, Heaven is So Real by Coco Thomas. A Divine Revelation of Hell by Mary Baxter. This got real spiritual. These guys are serious. Outliers came up again by Malcolm Gladwell. Alchemist came up again by Paulo Coelho. Joan Lane, Conversation with God, very spiritual. So it seemed that this spiritualist, I mean, this idea that your spirituality needs to be on point is a very, very important theme that kept coming through. Poe says The Little Prince by Saint Exupery. Welsh said Master Key by Charles Hanel. Come up again. The Power of Now, come up again. Elma Nita Titus, Shantaram, which was also recommended by my good friend. Paula Caffey, also an American. She says, always prominent on my library bookcase. Where Do We Go From Here? Chaos or Community by the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King. And speaking of Dr. Martin Luther King, this was his birthday. We're celebrating his extraordinary life. Paul also gave us another one. Guess what that would be?
Mm-mm.
The Bible.
good.
Corey Let's Johnston, the alchemist. He mentions the alchemist. Cucho says a new earth. So you can see the themes are running through very consistently. And I think what's important is that as we continue to sort of think about the type of books you're going to be reading, know where and be honest with yourself about what you need. Because when a good book grabs you, it grabs you. I think this is sort of the final page on Facebook, and I'll go to Twitter quickly, and then I'll give you my final two, and then we'll go into Rianette's cyber health feature. Caroline Brown says, I must have been 9 or 10 years old when I read two books that really made an impression on me. Nectar in a Sieve is a 1954 novel by Kamala Marikande, and A Tree Grows in Brooklyn in a 1943 novel written by Betty Smith. Mark Loon said School is Dead by Everett Raymer. Tooming Lee, Think and Grow Rich. Boitumelo, Yolanda Van Zant, Cornay Davis, Celestine Prophecy. The Celestine Prophecy also changed my life. That was given to me by a girlfriend when I was 23 years old. And that book did fundamentally change my life. I had actually forgotten about that book. I'm going to go back and dig that one up. Thanks, Cornay.
And is this Dr. Cornay Davis?
Yes, Dr. Cornay Davis.
We have to take note.
She's still at UJ.
I've written down that one to have a look.
Okay. Deshan says John Cahill, Mind Power Again. Tracy Linting, The Alchemist. Judy Kuth, The Book of Joy. And Tabi Singh, Darren August, A Teacher Changed My Life, A Must for Teachers. Wendy Lambert, Millionaire Mind, T. Harv Eker. Wise Man said Zero to One by Peter Thiel. Nocipo, Every Day a Friday, Joel Osteen. Dondo said Mind Power. Dion Foster, Art of War, which come up a bunch of times as well. And Abigail Klopper, who I adore. E-Myth, Revisited by Michael Gerber. Amy York Sweetney, she's also based in the U.S., she says the five love languages again. So you've got an extraordinary list from Facebook. Hopefully you'll be able to take some of them and be able to dig in and have some fun. I've got a few more I want to share with you again. And again, please share with us if you want on WhatsApp. I'm liking this new sort of WhatsApp line. 078-748. Can you test it and make sure it works, Rianette?
Sure.
078-748-2090 is the WhatsApp line. Let me go to Twitter. You know, you got to love our Twitter people. Twitter is fascinating.
Tim, can I WhatsApp my other two that I would love
yes,
to share?
Yes, please. And I'm going to pick it up now. Okay, let's go down Twitter. I'm not going to mention everyone's sort of name, but The Goddess Bootcamp by Kahiso Msimango. The Hustler's Bible by Gayton McKenzie, who I've had on the show before. The Monk Who Sold His Ferrari, Robin Sharma. One of my favorite authors is Ben Okri, The Famished Road. Missy Roberts says, in the meantime, finding yourself in the love you want. Yolanda Van Zant, who's come up a bunch of times across the board. Chanel Thomas says, A Short History on Everything by Bill Bryson. I definitely recommend that book.
Yeah.
Who Moved My Cheese, a classic. The Medici Effect by Fran Johansson. Bernard Swanepoel lists his wife's book, The Leadership Riptide by Tracy Swanepoel. Frank said, Time to Think. By Nancy Klein, John Viston, nice. Down and Out in Paris and London. I'm going to check that out. Purpose Driven Life by Rick Warren again. Expert Mavericks, Henry Miller's A Devil in Paradise. Akila recommended that book. The Power of Positive Thinking again, Vincent Peale. Blubber by Judy Bloom by Kinsey recommended that book. Tim Mikosi, Animal Farm and 1984 by George Orwell. Those are classics. What They Don't Teach You at Harvard by Philip. I think that's by, what's Philip's surname? Bibba. I can't remember his surname, but that was recommended by Catlejo. Chinua Achebe, Things Fall Apart, an all-time sort of classic as well. So have you sent the WhatsApp yet?
No.
Okay, still coming.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was struggling because our receptionist is not that great in here. Okay. But may I share my other two books,
sure, please?
The one is Dr. Seuss. All of his books are awesome. But the one everyone needs to buy now, even it doesn't matter what age you are, is Oh, the Places You'll Go. And it starts off by saying, oh, the places you'll go, you have a brain in your head and feet in your shoes. So, oh, the places you go. And it's just so well written. And if you look at it, he talks about how we sit and wait for things to happen and we waste time we don't take opportunities and we care too much what other people think. It's just brilliant.
Nice.
And then the one that I'm busy reading is called The Hope Quotient by Ray Johnson, Your HQ Level. And you know what, Timothy? At the end of last year, I thought I was burnt out. But after reading this book, I realized I was just discouraged. And he talks about practically how to raise your HQ level.
I like that.
It's so, so Hope brilliant. Quotient. Yeah.
Awesome. Thanks for those. All right. Cool. So my final two are two books that are you may not be expecting. One is called Headstrong, 52 Women Who Changed Science and the World by Rachel Swabe. Rachel has been vital in my work around gender. She's a journalist who literally explodes traditional notions of men being the greatest scientists. She also builds a case for how patriarchal systems created bias from men and how women influenced some of history's greatest scientific achievements but never got credit. This book will change how you see women forever and their capacity. So Headstrong, 52 Women Who Changed Science. I mean, you're going to be blown away, number one, at how full of crap the media is and how they gave men credit for things that women did. I mean, it's explosive. Just a really well-written book, and, you know, the journalistic integrity is powerful. And then lastly, Redirect, The Surprising New Science of Psychological Change by Timothy D. Wilson. Man, this book changed my life. You know, Dr. Wilson's research showed how powerful our personal stories are over how we see ourselves and how by changing the story, we can change how we see and engage not only ourselves, but how our brain reacts just by changing the story. Mm-hmm. So let's say, for example, you were saying at the end of the year, you were discouraged. If that was your story, then that's the story of discouragement impacts your entire neural system, your entire nervous system, and how you feel. But by changing the story, it impacts, you know, on the opposite. So the two major lessons and takeaways with this book. One, motivation has its limits if you don't change the story. And that, you can pump somebody up all you want. But if you change the story and you have a child who doesn't like math, and the story of that in that child's head is math is bad, math is not good, I'm bad at math, no matter how much you pump this child up and tell them to do the homework, it's not going to work. Until you change the story for them to go in their mind, math links to something that I love.
Yes.
And you change that narrative, then the actual big thing is that their relationship with math will be more natural and you don't have to motivate them as much. Also, that a lot of our behavior is automated because of stories. And changing your stories, he frames it as editing or redirecting the story. And it's the same story, but just by editing and redirecting it, you alter your own psychology and your own health and your own psyche. So I think this book, it's a bit heavy, but it's worth the read in terms of how you sort of see yourself.
Timothy, just say the title again, please.
Redirect.
Okay.
Yeah, Redirect by Timothy Wilson. He is definitely a game changer. Malcolm Gladwell said this is a must read. Some of the influences that I reached out to, as sort of we wrap this up, is Minnie Lamini. She is, you know, an extraordinary. She's got several million people following her on social media. She just got engaged, by the way, over right before the holiday period and shook up the whole country. She was on the cover of the Sunday Times with her engagement ring, and everybody tried to chase down and find out who her man was. But anyway, she says, Maya Angelou's Letter to My Daughter. She says it's a quick read, but extremely powerful. Actress and extraordinary presenter, Nomzamo Mbata, says 491 Days by Winnie Mandela, and We Need New Names by Violet Bulawayo. I think Yes, and then Yvonne Johnston, former CEO of Brand South Africa, says Dark Side of the Light by Debbie Ford. And then Anele, she says a must read for her, particularly for those in media, is Tina Fey's Bossy Pants. Now, fortunately, we have the benefit of podcasts where this is recorded, so you can easily go back and have fun with listening to this. And please do share some of the by tweeting us, share some of the books that you love by tweeting us. You can tweet me at Timothy Maurice or at CliffCentral.com so we can add to this list. But this has been an absolute joy. First of all, researching and going through my own sort of books and finding out what really moved me, but also seeing what moves you. I mean, that was very heartwarming for me. I mean, and I didn't share all the stories. I got stories through my inbox about books that, you know, caught them at the right time, that gave them their entrepreneurship light, mm-hmm. that really helped launch them on so many different levels and helped change their life. So, and thank you, Renette, for sharing your books. I want to check those out. I can't wait to go back and listen to this myself and just sort of take some of the notes, because I sort of rushed through this on purpose because I wanted you to see that everyone is having their life changed by reading. And people say people don't read. People do read.
They do read, and sometimes we must also, and I want to recommend and encourage people who have a book inside of them to write it, because you could be that person who enlightens someone else, your words, to be on paper. So,
absolutely.
So, Tim, thanks for the books you've written and for
thank you
everything you share with us.
Do you want to know my favorite book of my books?
Please tell us.
Personavation. I mean, book has been reprinted 7 or 8 times, and I'm very, very grateful for the publisher, Pat McMillan, who published that book originally. But, you know, I agree with you, Renette. If you've got a book inside of you, which most of us do, sit down. I have a whole podcast. Go back to about a year ago. I did a podcast about publishing your book. I won't go through that now, but go back. It gives you structurally how to begin it, the options in terms of do you go with a big publisher or a traditional publisher, do you go online, etc. And I know you are publishing as well, and I wish you the best as you continue your journey.
Thank you. Thank you, Tim.
All right. Awesome. We're transitioning now to our cyber health feature with Renette Lebowitz, sponsored by SafetyNet.
Yes, thank you, and all the best for the new year. It's beginning 2017. We have the opportunity to start fresh, to clean those phones, literally. Take some wet wipes, clean your phone, get it ready so that it's not doesn't have sand from the beach, or maybe you want that as a reminder, but clean your phone regularly. Make sure that it's decluttered and ready for the new year. Check the apps that you've got, the permissions you've given them, etc. But I wanted to talk to you about trends for that they identified in 2016 and what they predict will be good and big and better in 2017. So I'm going to go through them quite quickly, but the article that I'm using as a basis was published on Forbes.com, and it is by Jason Demers, and it's the top 7 social media trends that dominated in 2016. And it's helpful to look back and see which trends actually stuck around to shape the social media realm of the future. So without further ado, let's go. Number one was live video. Obviously, Periscope, Facebook Live, etc. Live video is an easy and effective way to interact with people, especially if you use a question and answer style format or another medium that encourages participation. So it's really a big one, and it will continue to be. Then number two, stories. Coming back to what Timothy said earlier in the show of Unbranded, stories is so powerful. Snapchat stories have been around since the app's launch, which is now called Snap, but it was the debut of Instagram's equivalent story function that made headlines. So stories is another leap forward for storytelling and social media marketing, and brands that leverage it have seen killer results. So if you're in brands and you want to take it to the next level, look at the stories. Then mobile optimization. It's really about some of these apps are not even available on your machine. It's just mobile, and it's focused on mobile and the fact that it is, if you are planning on developing something for this year, make sure that it works perfectly on mobile instead of desktop only. Social commerce and advertising. It was an eventful year for the development and refinement in social media purchasing and advertising, but we saw new advertising options from brands like Instagram and Pinterest and new features like slideshow ads from top players like Facebook. And again, it's something that if you go deep into it, if you delve deeper into algorithms and how advertising is done, and coming back to the apps that we have and the permissions we give them, you might be quite surprised that some of them are listening to your conversations, hearing you say Toyota, BMW, and all of a sudden you're receiving more of those types of ads. It's listening to your conversation. It's listening to your tone of voice. So it's really sophisticated stuff. Then echo chambers and influence. We may see Facebook and other social media players respond to the effect of diversified versions of newsfeed algorithms as a result. But this comes back to what I said earlier. Then fun and games. Social media apps have also taken measure to take their apps more fun for users or make them more fun. Snap filters capable of morphing your face and the scenery around you continues to be added and they continue to be popular. And at the beginning of 2016, Facebook released new emoji reactions to augment the like function. But this is something that if you're a developer, I think is such an exciting place to be in, is how to make it fun and let people play. And then the rise of chatting. You know, there's quite some people saying the trends, people are moving away from social media more to the chatting functions where you have a direct WhatsApp group. So it's more personal instead of spreading it out on social media. But it is fast in the moment and therefore seen as a more sincere, more unique experience that shows more people and what you're about. So those were some of the top trends of 2016 as shared by Jason Demers. But what about 2017? And I thought this was quite cool. Predictions from 2017 by thisiscrowd.com. So they speak about, number one, pay to play. Many social media platforms are starting to prioritize content that comes to individual users and cutting back on the graphic visibility of brands. Brands have been on the way for a very long time, but guess what? Brands are having to pay more if they want to continue achieving the same level of social reach. Eventually, social brands may see their organic visibility cut so drastically that paid advertising become the only way to achieve meaningful reach. And this could be something for brand activation, you know, PR, marketing, advertising agencies, digital agencies to keep in mind, because you have to start thinking about how you're going to use these algorithms and the fact that we've actually been very fortunate where people can just do the marketing on your behalf. So it will be interesting. I'm just thinking about it to see what happens to social, what do you call it? You know, people think they all are just in the media and they're all journalists. So let's see what's going to happen. They also talk about dark social. This is an interesting one for me, especially thinking about the work we do at Safety Net. Untraceable analytics are becoming even more of a problem for marketers. And without a solution, this will only become more challenging in this year. The popularity of messaging apps and the fact that they are encrypted makes it impossible to identify the exact source of this and the knock-on effect it has. So we can't measure how people talk about our brand anymore. So there are many others, cultivating communities, for instance. And I think in terms of that, you know, you also need to look at your niche influencers that we spoke about this end of last year, your influencers. And virtual reality, that's quite a big one. I mean, there was an article last year, end of last year, where a woman was poked in virtual reality and she was really upset. So is it real? Is it not real? But what I would like to encourage people to do and just to keep in mind is, you know, have fun while we're on the wires, but let's also be responsible, as always, be responsible digital citizens and make sure that the social trends are impacting you in a positive way. So thank you so much from me, Rianette, from Safety Net Cyber Safety. Take good care.
Awesome. And we'll be back next week, and we'll keep you posted on how we're going to evolve Unbrand. And we like your feedback. So hit me up on Twitter at Timothy Maurice, or Timothy Maurice at Gmail, or Timothy at TimothyMaurice.com. We'll be back. Thank you very much again.
Unbranded on CliffCentral.com. CliffCentral.com.